This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Speak Easy, the show that speaks easy about poetry. I am your host, Sheena Bahardin, and accompanying me in the studio is my producer, Tina Carmelia.
Hello.
Hi, Tina. We are inching closer to 2019.
Isn't
are you
that
okay
exciting?
With your resolutions?
Don't have one.
That's a good strategy. Same here. All right. Earlier, you were listening to a snippet of the track Sunny Duet by the spoken word poet / artist No Name, featuring The Mine. Born Fatima Warner, the Chicago poet frequented open mic gigs and poetry slams before making her debut in 2013 when she appeared on Chance the Rapper's album Acid Rap. In the song Sunny Duet, she uses the language of poetry to tell the story of one's coming of age in the presence of love. Now, in this episode of Speak Easy, we will be talking about just that. A coming of age story for the poetry open mic event we all know as If Walls Could Talk. And after 55 shows, Walls will be closing its doors for an indefinite hiatus. And to celebrate those more than three years of providing a platform for poets and poetry lovers alike, they also recently announced the publication of a love letter to the scene in the form of an anthology of KL spoken word poetry, aptly titled When I Say Spoken, You Say Poetry. In the spirit of transitions, of closing a chapter and opening up new ones, we have two very special guests joining us in the studio today. First up is Lily Jamaluddin. A writer and a poet, her work has been published in the Grinnell Review, Geometry Literary, Plain China, and in the anthology Straits Eclectic, published in 2017. She was also formerly a volunteer for the Washington, D.C.-based poetry organization Split This Rock, and was part of the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Center Theatre for Young People program. Now, next up, we also have Seong Han Si. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes.
Great. And our second guest is a writer and editor. Han co-edited Voices of the Displaced, poems from the Malaysian Migrant Poetry Competition 2015 to 2016, and the anthologies Little Basket 2016 and Little Basket 2017. He also teaches English as a second language. Now, not only are Lily and Han part of the team that organizes KL's longest-running poetry open mic, If Walls Could Talk, they are also the editors of the book When I Say Spoken, You Say Word. Recently released at the Georgetown Literary Festival, this massive collection of more than 100 poems by 61 poets will be launched in its birth city, Kuala Lumpur, on December 16th at Lit Books. Welcome to Speak Easy, Lily and Han. How are you guys?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Pretty good. Also feeling pretty good.
Right. Well, like we were talking before the show, and there were so many things happening at Georgetown Literary Fest. How was it?
Oh, it was awesome. It was tiring. It was thought-provoking. So many emotions and ideas in one place. I mean, it was really amazing. This year's festival, really kind of trying to push the boundaries a little bit more in its approach. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of like a queer writers segment as well. And as you know, they brought in Anwar Ibrahim, and so pretty big volume of GTLF this year.
Right, and the both of you were also part of the sessions, right? The panel sessions? Were you both panelists in the same session or differently, Han?
I was on a panel with Lily. It was an emerging writers panel. It was about Malaysia and Singapore. Mm-hmm. It was about how to develop a community, how a community gets set up.
Right.
And what is the place of publishing and all of that. And another Malaysian poet named Lawrence Huang was also part of that panel.
Mm-hmm.
He brought the the Chinese scene viewpoint. Because, like, as you know, there isn't a lot of overlap between the scenes. But the Chinese scene has perhaps better access to publishing than the English scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And then for the Georgetown Literature Fest, that was also the place where we had the Malaysian National Poetry Slam. How did that go?
It's pretty good. It was also, it was more of a few team members from the Walls team were responsible for putting on the slam. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the whole team per se. I helped out as well, backstage and such. It was mainly Melissa Rani, T. Selva, and William Beale who deserve the full credit. Those guys worked super hard to pull that thing off. And I've been part of slams in the past. It's easy to half-ass a slam.
Right.
But this was this was like something really professional, really slick. This is like the smoothest and most professional slam I've seen put on in Malaysia.
But the fact that, you know, we've had slams for the past 10 years and to actually get here, I guess it says a lot about the fact that there are more people that are participating, more people are working on it. For it to reach that level of professionalism, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. It's really great. So I want to know, so when was the book actually, was it launched in Georgetown Literary Fest?
Yeah, that was our first launch. We also have a KL launch coming up.
And did it happen after the slam or before the slam?
Right after the slam, and which happened on Saturday evening.
Not right after, just like day after.
Yeah, the day after.
And how was it?
The launch itself?
Yeah, the launch itself.
I think it went pretty well. It was one of the last events that happened at GTLF. So I'm not sure if we were really kind of expecting a big crowd, but we had a lot of people turn up. We had a group of about 10 writers from the anthology come and read their poems. It was a really great opportunity to showcase the book and also to have an audience from outside KL receive it. So I'm pretty excited about the people who got to see the book and were interested in hearing more.
One of the things that was great about the Poetry Slam is that there were like maybe 80% of those people had not actually seen a poetry event mm-hmm. or attended a poetry event in their lives. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, I think, were local Penangites.
Right.
So like to be able to really bring poetry to like a practically a group that would never normally see poetry in their daily lives, I think that was one of the highlights because they were an amazing crowd. They were just so good.
Yeah, I saw pictures. Yeah. Wish I was there.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing also just to see. I think we were so normalized to the idea of seeing spoken word in like gritty cafes and like kind of like dingy, like dirty poet kind of places. But this is the first time I'd ever seen it like this, you know, like really almost like this like glamorized version of spoken word.
This is actually like if you go to places like Melbourne or Singapore, this is the level of poetry that people are accustomed to.
Yeah.
So to be able to bring that here is quite a feat.
Right. And see poetry kind of treated with that amount of respect, I think, was really awesome.
And I hope that we can have another one of those in KL. Do you think that might be happening next year?
Touch wood.
Touch wood.
Yeah.
That it will. Okay. Now, let's get to the book. I have the book in my hand right now, and I'm going to start with the title itself. How did that come onto the plate? Like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. What's the story behind it?
Yeah, well, that's actually, it comes from Will Beale, who started, was a co-founder of If Walls Could Talk, and something that he would do to kind of get crowds engaged and to make the show interactive and to get everybody's attention is that he'll look out into the crowd and say, when I say spoken, you say word, spoken word, right. Spoken word. and that's become really kind of like a staple at Walls. Mm-hmm. And whoever hosts Walls says that, you know, at every show. And so I think it was really representative of something that's like spoken word, which is thrown out in the poetry scene. Mm-hmm. And representative of a, I guess, like an anthem.
It's like an anthem.
Yeah, it's like an anthem.
Well, it's a call and response. Mm-hmm. The technical term is activating the audience.
Activating the audience. There we go.
So you're creating this relationship with the audience. You know, they're coming in. They're maybe coming off their day jobs and whatnot. And they're coming into the space. You have to establish a connection with the audience. And you do that by creating these calls and responses, like reaching out to them and then having them reply. It seems trivial to maybe the innocent bystander, but it's actually a really important way of engaging the crowd and getting them on your side, ultimately the poet's side, who will be performing. So for us, it is a really important idea and perhaps not a very familiar idea in other forms of poetry, but maybe for performance especially.
Okay. All right. Now, we'll definitely talk more about the book, but coming up after this, Elaine Foster will be giving us an update in what is up with poetry on her side of the world in London. Plus, we'll get to talk more about the work that was done behind the anthology itself. So please don't touch that dial. You are listening to Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Months that I've been here, and time has really flown, guys. I miss you all. I'm Speak Easy in the BFM studio, but I have been keeping an eye out on social media about what's going on. Loads of exciting things seem to be happening in KL, not least the National Poetry Slam. Mm. I also noticed that there is an anthology that they launched at the Georgetown Literary Festival. When I say spoken, you say word. That's right. Which I actually think that I'm in it. Yes, I am in it. I saw an Instagram post by Davita, and she was saying how she was squashed in between some other poets. And yes, there was my name. Gosh, Raising the Bar, such an old poem. But the anthology has been long in coming, hasn't it? I think it was about 2 years ago that Melissa Runney started that project, and then she took it over with Han. Anyway, I'm very excited to get a copy, and I'm very excited for their, I think they're doing a launch also back in KL. Back here, I've had a couple of moments free, you know, with the darkening days and the cold weather. It is hard to motivate to get out of my house and get into central London. But I did manage to get to a couple of Inua Ilam's gigs. Shini, you might remember Inua. He is a British Nigerian poet who actually came via the British Council, I think about 4 or 5 years ago. He performed at one of Poetry Cafe KL's events at Urbanscapes. And this is back when Urbanscapes was at that in PJ, if you guys remember, it was back in PJ. Love those days. And back then, it was even hard to get poetry on the stage. So it was really amazing that Inua was there. So he is a London-based poet, and he runs these things called rap parties, which I love because it is about poetry and hip-hop. And again, Sheena, I am sure you will greatly appreciate this concept. This one in particular that I went for, the National Poetry Day in the UK. And on this particular event, he was commemorating the 20th anniversary of Lauryn Hill's Miseducation album. Brilliant. Love Lauryn Hill. I think probably one of the people and artists that actually inspired me to be a spoken word poet, and which brought me to hip hop. So very quickly, the format's like this. He invites a poet to respond to one of the songs of the album, and it's a very long album, so it's a particularly long night. And he chooses people, mostly people of color. He's very focused within the Black and people of color community in London. And they respond to the poem, to the song. And each poet would come up and do their poem. And then there was a DJ on the stage. And then they would play the track. And the audience was invited to get onto the stage and dance to the track. I mean, talk about audience participation. What a brilliant kind of idea to bring into a live performance or spoken word performance. And it was just a beautiful thing, like 20 years. It was really hard, I think, to live up to the song. I mean, this for me, the songs were always, and they were good, you know. And it's hard to write a poem that meets the how brilliant the song is. But it is a great idea, and a couple of poems really stood out for me. Raymond Antrobus, who's one of my favorite all-time London-based poets. I actually have a little bit of a boy poet crush on this guy. He's so cute. And he did a poem about what it was like to be biracial growing up, you know, in Black estates and trying to rap, which is kind of funny. So there's a lot of identity politics, and much in the same way that we are processing and kind of exploring in our poetry back in Malaysia. There's a lot of subject matter is identity, which is what's so special about spoken word, the exploration of the self, of the personal, and how it is political and how it affects and resonates. And then a month went by and I went to the second gig, which he performed Inua. We're back to Inua in his rap party because he does it monthly. And this time he included dance. So the format was like this, based on a film. So it was The Warriors, which is like a 1970s film based on gang culture and gang violence in New York in the 70s and how it all came to a head. It's a very famous documentary movie, fiction movie. So he showed the movie in the day, and then poets were asked to hack the movie the way that you hack the Lauryn Hill album. And then at night, he brought new poets in who had responded to one of their favorite rap songs that may or may not have been inspired by the movie The Warriors. And then after the poem, he had a troupe of dancers come on, and they responded to the poem using the track that the poet had suggested. So it was this huge, like, mashup of dance and poetry and hip-hop and music, and it's just wonderful. And I really think we need to get Inua to come over and do this. The other thing, Sheena, I wanted to tell you is, you remember George Milga? George, what are you, like, literally one of the founding kind of poets of our scene. We were all in that scene together in that first slam. He's here doing great work in the Applied Theater and Theater of Press, and he invited me to do a poetry reading with Paul Case at the Freedom Bookshop in Whitechapel. So that's really the only moment that I've had to perform myself. Small independent anarchist bookshop, by the way. And I opened for Paul Case, whose performance was called, was a narrative performance poetry called Dead White Anarchists. And then that led me to think about George and the collaboration I did with him in Han. Han, George, and I did a version of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, by Gil Scott Heron. And we did at the Cloth and Cleft. And I haven't seen or spoken to Han in years. And this, like, suddenly, you know, it's like Han's doing Walls and Han's publishing the anthology. 10 years later, I see George in London, you know, and just like maybe the poetry world is a little bit more connected and in some kind of weird energetic way. But it is worth remembering those times, you know. Finally, the last thing I wanted to say was there is a poetry slam coming up on the 6th of December here in London. It's called the Genesis Poetry Slam. It's pitched to be the best emerging upcoming spoken word poets. And there was something worth noting about this slam is that it has stuck to the original idea, which is slam should be democratic. And so the audience members are chosen like they do in the Ubud Writers Festival. The judges are actually taken from random people from the audience. And I think that's a really important thing to remember as a culture, that slam is supposed to be democratic. It's supposed to be audience driven, and that's what kind of makes it more accessible, more community driven, and less hierarchical, and just kind of more about the poems and not the competition. That's me, guys. I'm sorry it's been so long that I haven't spoken to you. There's so much happening. I will definitely, definitely get recordings for another gig. See you at Christmas. Bye.
My free time was a hole I filled with shit. When I could have filled it with gold and dead animals, I missed that freedom. When I was young, I thought I could squeeze time so it drips slower through my fingers. I listen to keep teaching myself. The impression of you is all I get to take with me when you're gone, no matter how much violence I do to it.
All right, thank you, Han. Welcome back to Speak Easy. My name is Sheena Bahardin, and also in the studio is my producer, Tina Carmelia. You just listened to the poem Free Time, kindly shared and performed by our guest, Seohan Si. Now, if you just tune in, we are talking to Han and Lily, the duo who were given the responsibility of selecting and editing the works featured in the poetry anthology that we are going to talk about today, which is the one titled When I Say Spoken, You Say Word. Now, I have been itching to ask the both of you this question. If you have published spoken word poetry, does it mean that you have to ignore the performative aspect of that piece? So I want to know, how is it like to edit poems that are essentially written for performance?
This idea that poetry is separate from spoken word, I think, is, for me, doesn't exist.
Right.
I consider all poetry performative. I consider all poetry to have an element of performance in it. Even poetry on the page is meant to be read aloud,
right?
In my opinion. So
That's the thing. Where I come from is this idea that when you want, as a spoken word poet, when you want to publish your book, then of course it has to be edited. But who is this editor that we're looking for? I think there's a scarcity in terms of the sort of editors that can actually edit and give feedback on your work. And now you actually have 61 poets who have contributed 100 performance pieces. How was the process for you as an editor?
We didn't do too much with the poems that were sent to us. We have poems coming in from year one of If Walls Could Talk, and that's all the way back in 2015. So it's a lot of their earlier work and a lot of new and younger poets who are writing now in 2018. So I think, like, actually it's kind of an archive of a lot of people's earliest work. And for me, there's something quite nice about showing or displaying work that is fresh and unpolished. So we didn't do a lot to change the poems. We did some proofreading, grammar.
Okay. The editing was mainly through the selection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's important to note that Walls is an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
So, like the event itself, we're not doing much editing to the piece. If a poet signs up, they get their 5 minutes, and we don't really edit that performance, that writing either.
Mm-hmm.
That goes out and we see that and they either wow us or they don't. We either remember them or we don't. And ultimately that is reflected in the editing process in which we have more limitations, more restrictions. We have to like juggle printing costs and the cost of paper and all that. So obviously we couldn't include all, I think it's actually over 200 poets.
There was a call for poems, yeah?
There was a call for poems, but it wasn't an open call. It was a closed call, and it was only to people who had performed previously at Walls.
Right.
So what we did, the editing mainly was through selecting the pieces that we wanted, mainly because they reflected Walls in some way or they were somehow some kind of milestone, like Jack Malik's work, like Dinesha Karthikesu's work.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it was important to have them in the anthology because they were so pivotal in developing what the community is now and what is considered good poetry.
Just now you mentioned about archiving. So is that the aim of the book? Because after this, you said that Walls itself is going to be on an indefinite hiatus.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
So like to close the book, meaning like to close this whole chapter.
That particular
Walls.
Chapter.
Right.
Is that the intention?
Well, I don't think... So the idea of the book came about, like, I think in 2016 or 17, like quite a while ago. And so we've taken some time to get all of the newer poets. And then I later came on board to help with the project. So I don't think we had the idea of like eventually closing Walls down and having this be the last chapter. But I think they came together kind of quite nicely.
And then what sort of challenges that the both of you faced during the selecting and the editing of the book?
Gender balance, I think, is something that I talk about in the editor's note. It was about trying to find enough male voices for once.
Wow. Who knew?
Because, yeah, there's a prevalence of a lot of... the scene is largely young women. The selection reflects that largely.
Yeah, I think another kind of challenge we face, like we were just speaking about the idea of archives.
Yeah.
And so while I would love for this to be an archive of, you know, all of the spoken word that Kale has to offer,
right.
I think that's been a big struggle for us, you know. It's a showcase of poems and poets who have appeared on the wall scene, and we've tried to kind of balance, let's say, like the original poets of Kuala Lumpur and also showcasing a lot of the newer talent as well. So I hope we did justice. I hope we did justice,
an
archive.
I have the book in my hand right now. It is amazing that you can actually say that there is an anthology of KL spoken word poetry. There's a book out there that people can see and people can actually buy and purchase and have a look at all of the works that have been shared before. You know, over those 55 shows that the organizers have organized and set, what I see and what I have observed is that, yes, there's this idea that If Walls Could Talk is the platform that you go to because it's an open mic and then you don't have to feel intimidated or scared to share your works, because I can see like most of the names of the poets here, I haven't heard them before, and then the fact that now I have the opportunity to read the poems, it does say a lot. However, I do wonder what's going to happen after this. What is next? After this book, is it just going to be one book only, or do you have any plans as part of the team of If Walls Could Talk?
Well, I think, one thing that I do hope just for the writers, not for the Walls team, but for the writers, is that since this is a lot of, for a lot of them, it's their first publication and the
right.
first time they've been able to see their words written in a book that's going to be sold, you know, all around Malaysia and in different countries. And so I hope it's a way for them to be exposed to perhaps other publishers or other people who might be interested in having them on their stages.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that they do publish more as well.
Right.
And that the culture isn't just about performing on stages, but publishing publishing on paper as well.
Right. And this book is published by Skinny Walls.
Right, yeah.
Let's talk about Skinny Walls. What is that?
It is the publishing imprint of If Walls Could Talk. So whether or not this is the first and last book is a TBA. Depends on how well this book does. We are going on hiatus. We are going to like take a break for a while. No more Walls after December. Part of the reason is because Gaslight is closing down. Part of the reason is because...
I did not know that. It's closing
down.
Yeah,
Gaslight Cafe.
Okay.
Yeah. Something that doesn't get talked about a lot is that organizing takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of your
True.
Mental space, as you know,
mm-hmm.
with Numinous and,
yes.
and et cetera. It takes that energy away from other personal projects that you would like to do. It's valuable, necessary work, but it takes you away
right.
from your babies, and it's tough. When we started off, when Mel started off, there were zero poetry open mics,
right.
and now there are a handful. And that in itself is, I guess, it tells us that we've kind of achieved our goal.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of like, you know, poetry is in a more mainstream place. We can do a slam and over 300 people will attend. It's, I guess, for us, a turning point.
Right.
And we need to figure out what we're going to do next.
Right.
In order to maybe keep up with the times.
Mm-hmm. And maybe keeping up with the times, meaning that we can actually have a publisher that focuses on publishing spoken word poetry.
Yeah.
Skinny Walls, that could be one of it. Looking forward to that. Now, Lily Jamaluddin, would you like to share your piece with us?
Yeah, for sure. Not for nothing. Anything shared between two people is fragile until it is broken. then it becomes a reason to be born again. Look how many times I've given birth to myself, to my hands, to the small crescent moons in my eyes, soft bed of breathing, my friends, when I am dead, call me alive. And while we're alive, call me birthplace or bridge, and know that this is because that is. Whatever that is, it's why. It's why I was singing this morning, watching my mother pour a dead chicken's blood over the plants in our backyard. It's so good for them, she says, a lesson she learned from her mother, the pink and red liquid splashing against the small blades of grass. I can't help it. I'm decaying, I admit, and she does not smile. After a pause, she says, we're all stuck. She speaks with no admonishment, no cruelty, the way a mother confronts the face of the world, and perhaps this is all we need. I should have learned earlier, not perfection, not resolution, but a little valve, opening briefly, long enough for a small relief, for a collapse, a tiny cavity, emptying it enough so air can rush back in. Tell me, she says without saying, what gardens are absent of their reasons for being alive? And I say back without saying, how are we not made of everything when nothing ever leaves us? Not even the sharp edges of the most well-intentioned love. Isn't it beautiful? I know this word, finally. Changing. For example, now I hope to be my father's face in laughter and mine at rest.
All right. Thank you so much, Lily. Now, if you just tune in, we are talking to Han and Lily, two of the editors, basically the two editors who edited the new KL Spoken Word Anthology. When I say spoken, you say word. And we don't have that much time, but so far what we have talked about is that we've been talking about how the fact that after 55 shows that If Walls Could Talk is going to close its doors indefinitely, and then that they have published a love letter to the scene in the form of this anthology. You have 100 poems by 61 poets. That is amazing. And you are going to have a launch, a book launch in KL. Can you talk more about the launch? What can we expect from it?
Yeah, the launch is happening on the 16th of December at Lit Books from 5 to 7 p.m. And we're really excited about it. We love Lit Books, of course, as an independent bookstore.
I haven't been there.
Oh, it's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
Okay. I'll be there.
It's a great place. Yeah, and we're going to have a curated selection of writers from the book read there. And Han and I will probably talk a little bit about it. And we hope that a lot of people will come. You know, people who have had experience with the spoken word scene, people who are interested, people who don't know anything about it, and come and learn about, you know, a big chapter in poetry's history.
Come get your book signed.
Come get your book signed.
By all the poets. Not by us, but like by the poets.
You could get Han to sign it, though.
The both of you are in the book as well, so yes.
So these poems are in the book, so you got to get her to sign.
Exactly.
But Han is like an incredible editor,
oh,
so you have to get
Yeah,
signed.
And I think this is going to be the best opportunity for you to actually get yourself a copy of the book, because the poets are going to be there. You can actually see them performing their poems. How much is this book going to be sold for?
On the day itself, it's going to be sold for $40.
Okay.
Price is $45.
$45,
yeah.
So yes.
So get them now while they're hot.
Exactly, while they're hot. Now, there is one more thing that I need you to do for our listeners before we end our show, and that is to perform the piece that you wrote for the poet's hot seat. Now, because these two are editors, I have decided to sprinkle a few fun words in the mix. Tina, you know what to do. Drop the prompt.
This is going to be a mouthful. Use the following words to write a poem. Walls, graffiti, tintinnabulation, elixir, and hunger. Did I say any of that right? I don't know.
No, perfect.
All good, perfect.
I had to Google tintinnabulation too. I was like, what is this?
That's how I found the word. I Googled it.
Orchestra sounds or something. I don't know.
Sparkly, yeah.
Right.
Sparkly, tinkly sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. All of you learn a new word today. Now, after the break, our guests will be sharing their freshly written pieces, still hot from the oven. So keep on tuning in. This is Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Speak Easy. I am your host, Sheena Bahardin, and also in the studio with me is my producer, Tina Carmelia. We have been speaking to Seong Han Si and Lily Jamaluddin, the editors of the anthology of KL Spoken Word Poetry. When I say spoken, you say word. But let us not forget that Han and Lily are both no strangers when it comes to performing poetry. And as per the tradition of Speak Easy, we gleefully put our guests to the poet's hot seat test of writing a poem in 15 minutes or less based on a random prompt that was given earlier. Once again, for this month's episode, the writing prompt is...
I've got to do this again. Use the following words to write a poem. Walls, graffiti, tintinnabulation, elixir, and hunger. I hate this.
Excellent. All right. So, all right. Tina, why don't you decide who should go first?
I'll go with Lily.
All right. Okay, here I go. Here I go.
Clear favorites.
All right. If we allowed ourselves to feel hunger for anything, it was only in the safety of our own rooms, our own walls and locked doors, curtains drawn. Not necessarily dark, but what I mean to say is that to reveal a thing like that, that soft, sacred thing behind our defenses, sometimes it helps to stay in the shadows. Until safety reveals itself, that small elixir that undresses the graffiti, not magic, not fantasy, not tintinnabulation. Only there we emerge unforced.
Nice. All right. Thank you so much, Lily. Okay, we know who's going to go up next. Han, looking forward.
The brightness of the sound pushes into the soft walls of the nose. Some version of grotesque tintinnabulation. Some elixir we can take to feel hungry again.
Thank you so much, Han. I love it. Whenever you say tintinnabulation, people just like smile. You know, like automatically the body follows.
That's the most syllables in a word I've ever seen.
Automatically the body follows.
I love it.
You are a poet.
All right. Thank you so much, Lily and Han, for joining us in the studio today. It has been a pleasure. And what a great way to end the year with a poetic bang, spoken word anthology. And this is, the book launch is going to happen on December 16th at Lit Books at 5 p.m. from 5 to 7. So we'll be seeing you there. Now, in the meantime, we will be back next year, Tina Carmelia. And in the meantime, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all. I hope you are looking forward to see what 2019 has to offer us as eagerly as we are in this little show called Speak Easy. If you have any comments, feedback, or topics you would like us to cover on the show, do get in touch with us via the following channels. You can email us at biggerpicture@bfm.my, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can tweet us personally at Sheena Din or
Tina Carmelia.
Tina Carmelia. And you can also find us on Facebook at the BFM, The Bigger Picture, or Poetry Cafe KL if you want to see more updates on the Malaysian poetry scene. If you missed any part of this interview, you can download the podcast on our official BFM app. I am your host, Sheena Bahardin, alongside our special correspondents, Elaine Foster, my producer, Tina Carmelia, original music by Boy Tase, a.k.a. Faris Firdaus. This has been Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.